And I had liberty to go back to 1 Corinthians. So we're going to be lesson number 12 in 1 Corinthians. Where we're going to be in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And our text tonight is going to come from verses 6 and 7. Now, after I read our text tonight and pray, I will back up a little bit because what Paul is relating to here in the book of 1 Corinthians, if you just pick up in 6 and 7, you don't really know what he's talking about. So I know it's been a couple months since you've heard me. So we'll go back up and read that after I read 6 and 7, verse 6 and 7, and pray. And then we'll go back and read those other verses. So in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, in verses 6 and 7, just two verses tonight. Paul says, "In these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that none of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be back at Mount Lebanon, Lord, preaching once again, Father, on a Wednesday night. Father, I thank you for the church asking me to do this. And Father, not that it's anything of myself, Lord, because I've been praying, Father, that you work tonight. Father, that your will be done with this service. I pray that, Lord, you'd save the lost wherever this might go out. I pray that you would just help me tonight. Lord, control my stammering tongue. I pray that your words come through my lips tonight, Father. I need your help. I need you to guide me through the scripture. And Father, I do pray that you would bind Satan and his workers from hindering in this service tonight or any other time that somebody might be watching this. And Father, we sure do love you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to welcome all those that are watching on Facebook to the service tonight. Paul, when he starts out this scripture, he starts out with, "And these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself." Now, the reason I said we needed to back up a little bit is because we need to figure out what he's transferred to himself. Starting in chapter number 4, he said, "Let no man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." So Paul here is telling the Corinthians, the church at Corinth, in his letter, he said, "These things have I transferred to myself and to also to Apollos for your sakes." He's telling the church that everything that I do, everything that I say, I'm not as much man worried about it as I am what God thinks about it. He said he's the ultimate judge of the things that I do, the things that I say, my attitude each and every day, that he's the judge. He said, "These things have I transferred to myself," and he's going somewhere with this, and so am I. He said, "These things have I transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes." So Paul is trying to do everything to please God. Now, I understand, and I hope you understand too, that nobody's perfect. And Paul would even say, "I'm the chiefest of sinners." for himself. We're not perfect. And church, brothers and sisters, I don't expect for us to be perfect, because we're not going to be. Jesus set the example for us to follow, that benchmark for us to reach for, but we're going to fall short. But we can try to be Christ-like in everything that we do, and that would please the Lord. It would. Paul says, "In these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos." Paul's saying, "I truly have tried to be a servant." And church, that's what we need to do. We just need to try to be a servant anywhere we can, whatever we can do. And I don't mean give up everything and go on the mission field. But if God puts missions on your heart, go ahead. But what I'm saying is we just need to serve him wherever we're at. John 13 and 4 through 17. If Christ can be a servant, being who he is, and who he was when he walked on this earth, it's the least that we could do is be a servant for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It starts in verse 4, and I'm just going to read this to you. He riseth from supper. Now, he's at the Last Supper with the disciples. He riseth from supper, and he lays aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. So here's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. He humbles himself to strip himself, to take off his garments, and humbled himself in such a manner. And just to do that shows the heart of a servant. I mean, just to humble himself, to disrobe himself, put on a towel. And then he pours water into a basin and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girdled. So not only does he disrobe himself, but puts on a towel, and now he's washing his disciples' feet and then drying them, taking off the towel. So now he's got nothing on. Totally naked, humbled as a servant of his Father in heaven, washing the disciples' feet and drying them. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also wash my hands and my head." Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not to say. Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment, he was set down again, said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you?" He asked them that question. Do you know what I just did? He said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Now, he's given an example here. It's one of those places in the Bible where we don't need to go out and start washing everybody's feet. But what he's saying here, I've humbled myself as a servant. You need to do the same. He said, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant," here it is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye to do them. Paul's said, "In these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos," given the example of being a servant to the church at Corinth. An awesome example of being a servant is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right here in this scripture. Naked, washing feet. And when you think about it, that's pretty, I don't know that I could do it. I mean, washing somebody's feet, it's humbling. It's very humbling to do that. And I don't mean to make light of it, and I don't mean to joke about it, but it's very humbling that Jesus showed us that example. And when they ask him, so after he washed their feet and take his garment, sit down, when he's talking to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter saith unto him, ask him what he was doing, Jesus said, this is my example to you. Humble yourself and serve however you can. Don't put yourself above others. You're a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the scripture that we're looking at tonight has a lot to do with and based on this very same thing. There's all kinds of stuff that comes into this, but one basic theme is being a servant, humbling yourself, and get rid of pride. 1 John 2:3-14. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's talking about the commandments of Christ. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And we're not talking about the commandments of the Old Testament. We're talking about what Jesus has commanded to do. Verse 5 and verse number 2 of 1 John. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, and ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. This is where Paul gets his example from, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whenever I look at that, I say that because I'm trying to find it. Paul even says down a few verses later, and we'll get to that in a few weeks, Lord willing, that he's following the example of Christ. Can't put my finger on the scriptures right now, but it's in that chapter number 4. Verse number 7 in chapter number 2 of 1 John. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning, saying, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. So he's saying, love your brother. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake, for Christ's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. That love of your brother is just being a servant, showing that love of Christ. And Paul says, as I've applied these things to myself and Apollos, he's setting an example for us to follow. Now, basic number one on Jesus Christ, but Paul's giving a good example here of what he's doing for the church in Corinth. Our Lord and Savior's being a servant in John 13. In 1 John 2, just follow the commandments of Jesus to love one another, love your brethren, which is sometimes humbling. We don't emotionally always want to do it because sometimes our emotions get in the way. But Christ commanded us that we should love our brethren and our sisters. As Paul said in 4:6, "In these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos." Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life." Seek the Lord out and serve him wherever you can. Just ask him, what do you want you to do that day? For each and every day. When you make a decision, ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? To find his will, you got to seek it out. It's not just going to happen. You got to ask the Lord what his will is for you. You have to seek him out and ask him, talk to him. And he'll show you, the Lord will show you, what is his will. Number one, being a servant, following the commandments of Jesus. Number two, and Paul says that, "In these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos." And then he goes on with the next few words, and he says, "For your sakes." Previous verses, he said, "I'm not worried about how man judges me, but I'm worried about how God judges me. Everything I do, I try to think about the Lord. Because he's the one that's going to judge me at the end. He's either going to bless me here on earth as well, or he's not going to." But Paul says to the church of Corinth, "I've transferred to myself these things for your sakes." Now Philippians 4:8 and 9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Paul's saying, just stop and think about what we're doing. He said, "Those things which you have both learned and received and seen in me." Paul's saying, "What you've seen in me," and he just says, "Do." And then he puts a little sugar coating on it, and he said, "And the God of peace shall be with you." Paul's setting that example, has set that example in the Bible for us. Like I said, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, number one, setting the mark for us to go after, to strive after, to try to imitate, to live our lives after. Jesus wasn't there whenever Paul wrote this letter. But Jesus said, Paul said, "Everything I'm trying to do, I do for my Lord and Savior. God judges me, I know that. But now I need to do some things for you." He says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you." Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I love it when I see Christians that are acting like Christians. I love that part of that verse, and that's what struck me whenever I read the end of that verse, where it says, "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's kind of a strange thing that that's put where it is. "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works." People are watching. "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." It just made me think about this. When I see a brother or sister out in public, and they're actually trying to walk the walk of a Christian, say, "Thank you, Lord. They're putting in the effort. Glorifying our Father, which is in heaven." Doesn't it lift you up, church, whenever you see a Christian that actually walks like a Christian outside the church? We see it so often that just the opposite, that they come in play church. I mean, you may not have seen it, not here, but, you know, we've gone to a lot of churches and know a lot of people. And I was talking to Sharon just the other day. I said, some people, it was Easter Sunday. I said, some people, and I don't mean this harsh, but you almost don't want to see them in church because you know how they are at a church. It gives us Christians that are trying to do what Paul says here, it kind of gives us a bad name, and you understand that. You've probably had that before. Well, I know so-and-so goes to church down there, and they're no better than me. I know what they do outside of church. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I love to see those that are walking that Christian walk. I say, thank you, Lord. Strengthen them. Let them keep on going. That they can be an example, not only to the lost, but also to their brothers and sisters. Paul tells us that if we humble ourselves and follow after his example, Christ's example. The reason that he did all this, number one, I believe, it was to show it can be done. That a human, I mean, sure, we had Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, walking on earth in the flesh. But Paul's saying, I'm just a nobody. I'm the chiefest of all sinners. I've been saved, and now I'm trying to walk that Christian walk. Paul says, I've transferred to myself and Apollos these things for your sakes to show it can be done, to be that example. Look, I'm a human. I've got emotions just like you, but I'm trying my very best to show you it can be done. He also did it to teach him how to do it. All the letters and all the writings that Paul did, he did this just to teach those that would read it, not only to the churches that he sent the letters out to, but also for you and I and everybody else that reads the Bible, that it is to teach us how to do it, to show us that it can be done, to encourage one another to walk that Christian walk, that Christ-like walk. And he also tells us that we can do it if we put our mind to it. Now, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If we try to think about the Lord with everything that we do and we say, and not just, as the saying goes, have a knee-jerk reaction, just react. If we wouldn't just react, that's a good way to put it, to situations or to things that people say, if we commit our works unto the Lord, everything that we do, including our words and including our actions, I believe we could be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, more like Paul, that says, you know what, I've tried, I've transferred this stuff to myself for your sakes, to be an example for other Christians, but also to the lost. I read something the other day that just said Paul was recognized by the fruit that he bore, not the label that he wore. And I like that because there's a lot of people that have labels and names and different things to edify them. But you don't always see a lot of fruit with them. But with Paul, you saw a lot of fruit. The way that he talked, his actions, his attitude, even when in prison. He was trying to uplift others and write them letters of encouragement. He was recognized by the fruit that he bore, not the label that he wore. The verses that we started in, and these things, brethren, have I transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. It goes on to say in the next part that ye might learn in us. That's the fruit that we bear. Their teaching, if it was just teaching that Paul and Apollos were doing, he would have said that ye may learn from us. But he put that little word in there, and if you don't look close, you'll miss some of this stuff. I'd never seen it before until I started studying it. That said, that ye might learn in us. Watch what we do. Listen to how we talk. And check out our attitudes. And you'll see that we try to be Christ-like in the things that we do. And church, that's the way we should be. When people see us, that they might learn in us the good things that please our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If he could humble himself, our Lord and Savior, the way that he did, well, we're getting to that part next. I'll leave that off for right now. He was known by the fruit that he bore, not the label that he wore, that you might learn in us. Paul uses the in us as Paul's not only teaching the Bible principles to the church, but he is living them. And that's what we do outside the walls of this church. We try to live the Bible. That's the way we should be. People think it's strange. Some people don't understand. But they're definitely going to see something different in you if you do. Hopefully encouraging your brethren and sisters, and also helping win the lost to Christ, because they want that hope. They're looking for something. They're looking for hope in something that we can share that with them, that their hope would be in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mark 4:36 says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." I preached a sermon out of this passage of scripture one day, and it's just one of those little weird things in the Bible that when Jesus got in the ship and started going to the other shore, why did they put the other ships in there? The little ships. There was a storm coming up. It was about to get rough. The Lord showed me those little ships were watching what was going on. And Christians, the world is watching us to see what we do each and every day. Not only when the times are good, but when the storm's coming too. What we do. I didn't know it till after the fact, but before I went in for one of my surgeries here recently, I stopped and I grabbed my wife's hand and I said, "We need to pray before I go." And I started praying for the doctors, I started praying for the nurses, and I didn't know it till afterwards, after I prayed for everybody and then I left my room going to surgery, that the nurses were out in the hallway and saying, "He prayed." To them, it was odd. To me, it's a must. It's just something that I do. Christians, we should pray about everything. But I definitely wanted God's hand of blessing upon that surgeon as he was cutting away in there. But, you know, I just wanted the Lord's will to be done, whatever it was. And I'm not lifting myself up because it was just something that I do. But to be that testimony for those nurses, I hope they remember that. That no matter what, they can turn to the Lord. Now, I don't know if they were saved or not. I was a little loopy at the time, but I knew enough to pray. I was in some major pain. But here's the thing. I hope they remember that. If they were saved, I hope it encouraged them as Christians. If they were lost, I hope it planted that seed that, wow, he puts his hope in the Lord. He's got peace about it.
Christians, there's people watching us all the time.
Paul goes on in verse, I don't spend a lot of time on verse number 4. And these things, brethren, have I transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us. And then it goes on the next part, not to think men above that which is written, that none of you be puffed up one against another. That puffed up, it just means to bear thyself, oneself lofty, to be proud. I read the Greek lexicon in there when I looked up the definition. It said to let go into nature. And I thought to myself, they're talking about somebody being full of hot air. It's either belching or coming out the other end. I didn't know which, but you know, that's what it was talking about, releasing it into nature, releasing air into nature. And I thought about, wow, that's really a slam to pride, being puffed up, to bear oneself, to be lofty, to be proud. Paul says, don't think of men above that which is written, that none of you be puffed up one against another. Now, I realize that Paul's writing to the church in Corinth here, and they were going through a time of following after different preachers. But I started thinking about that being puffed up one against another. And you know, church, that's easy to do. Following after one, following after another, and that's what the church was doing here at Corinth. They were almost being prideful about who they got their teaching under. The Bible lists some very, well, cut to the heart truths about pride. But it's easy for Christians to get puffed up one against another. It really is. When you look at status of one Christian against another, what they do for a living, kind of house they got, it's very easy to think of ourselves above somebody else in church. Jesus took off his garments and washed the feet of his disciples. This thing about pride's not good. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And I just wrote down some things about pride and being proud. Pride goeth before destruction. That ought to stop us right there in our tracks. If we don't want things to fall apart around us, get rid of that pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is of a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand and joint in hand, he shall not be unpunished, the proud heart. There's some cut to the heart stuff about pride in the Bible. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom, that humble heart. Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Next thing listed is pride and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, Old Testament's great. There's New Testament for it too. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." I looked that word resisteth up. It's almost hard to say. And it blew me away. It says to rage in battle against. To oppose oneself or to resist. And when I read that, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud." I don't want God to rage in battle against me. Pride is one of the worst things that we can have. To think that we're better than others. Mark 7:22 says, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. From within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy." Pride is right there in the middle of it. Foolishness. All these evil things come from within that defile the man. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder." It goes almost along with verse 4:6 in James. "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Be subject one to another. That means we're all equal. Nobody's better than somebody else. "For God," and here it is again, "resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So there's a lot in the Bible that has to do with pride. Paul says not to think of men above that which is written, that not one of you be puffed up from one against another. Verse number 7, as we wrap this up this evening. "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" That differ just means to distinguish or separate a person or thing from the rest. And this next few words in this verse here, it's just the Lord when you think about it. "Who make thee to differ one from another?" "And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Church, it's all from the Lord. The things that we have. I know we like to think of ourselves sometimes, it could be in a prideful way, and I still catch myself doing it, that I did this. "Honey, I fixed the car. I got the truck going. You know, I fixed that squeaky hinge that's in the house." You know, our hands did it, but you know, there's so much that we do and we have, I'll say not so much everything, that's from the Lord. I've instead of knee-jerk reacting and just saying things to make myself puffed up, make myself look good, be prideful, I fixed this, I did this. I've had to humble myself and say, "Lord, thank you for helping me do this." I pray for knowledge and wisdom. He gives it. Allows me to figure things out. He gives it to me. We need to get over that we didn't do it ourselves. Paul here is just nailing the pride thing. Better to be humble than to be proud. And like I said, I'm not above you. I'm right there with a lot that when we think, you know, we did it, I love to, you know, when I'm talking to my wife and I say, "Thank you for doing," she says, "It's just the Lord. You know, and just to hear that is just a blessing that the Lord gives, that the Lord allows. Not only knowledge and wisdom, but he's given us salvation. The most important thing that anybody could ever have. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? God's given it all. It's nothing that we've done. He's allowed it. He can take it away, and he's allowed what we've got. You know, we've got certain possessions that God has just given to us. Now, some are blessed. Some are not so blessed. And I've got no control over that. That's all the Lord. But you know, he's given us food. He's given us clothing. He's given us, sometimes it's not perfect, but the health and strength and the minds that he's given us just to get up and go and to do. I had recently just joints start to swell up. And it's amazing when you can't use a hand, what you're thankful for when you get it back. Just to get to church tonight, just the minds to be able to do that, the ability to be able to do that, the vehicle that he's given to us, God's allowed that. What hast thou that thou dost not receive? He's given us homes to live in. I'll lay in my soft bed at night and I'll just say, Lord, thank you for a bed. Because a lot of people don't have. As my wife and I pray in the morning, I just look around. Lord, thank you for the house. Thank you for these vehicles that when you, or just push a button, it fires right up. Thank you for heat. Thank you for running water. What hast thou that thou dost not receive? We think we can do it all ourselves. Well, I've got a good job and everything. Yeah, but the Lord's give it. He can also take it away. We need to be thankful for what we got, church. Lord, praise him. Praise him and thank him for what you have. If you have it, it was given to you of the Lord. We didn't do it of ourselves. Now, a lot of people argue that, but I'm a Christian. I know better. Because I know he can take things away. I know he can give wonderfully. I've prayed stuff in before, and I don't know how he's done it, but he's done it. And I'm like, thank you. Just wants the glory for it. Just wants us to thank him for it. Last part of the verse. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? That glory means, why are you boasting about having it, saying I did it? I got it. To glory in any mercy, favor, or blessing received from God as if it was not received from him, but is owing to human power or care, shows ingratitude, pride, and wickedness. It's contrary to the grace of God, which teaches us humility and thankfulness. To God alone should all the blessings of nature, providence, and grace be shown. God ought to have all the glory. And to him only, praise is due from all of us. Like I said, church, I was still in the practice of it. It feels good to say I did it, I fixed it. But I know good and well that God could take it away at any time. I'm not perfect. But I am learning to get rid of pride a little bit more and a little bit more. Instead of puffing myself up and making myself feel good emotionally, first thanks goes to the Lord. And now I'm starting to say, hey, Miss Sharon, look what the Lord allowed me to get done. Lord's hand was in this. And it's been working out a lot better. All right, church, that's going to be our study for tonight. I appreciate your good attention. Thank you for the good liberty. It's good to be back up here. And Lord willing,